Bibles this morning, please turn to the book of Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter 16 this morning. Ezekiel chapter 16. I want us to look at a wonderful truth found in this chapter. The truth of God's grace. God's grace. In a moment, we'll read verses 1 through verse number 14. In this passage, as we read this, you will see that God is dealing with the city of Jerusalem. They have once again descended back into idolatry. Now, I tell you, as you would study out Jerusalem, you study out the Israelites, you study out these individuals, God's chosen people, you would find something very common. They would fall into idolatry. They would fall back into sin. God would get a hold of them. They would get right with God. They would go for some time doing what they should be doing. And then a few minutes later, sometimes it was not that quick, but shortly thereafter, they found themselves back in idolatry. They found themselves back in not serving God. They found themselves back to the place that they should not be. Now, God here in this portion of Scripture is trying to get their attention once again and get them to a place that they come back to Him. He uses an example that we're going to look at of a baby. Of a baby that is cast out. An individual who is unloved. An individual who is all by themselves, but the picture is that someone comes and takes this baby, brings this baby unto themselves. And all that takes place and transpires in the life of this individual. The same is true in our lives. We need to be reminded of the grace of God and what God does to get our attention, to get us to come back to Him. Many in our world today have turned back to idolatry, if you will. What is idolatry? It's when you and I have put anything before God in our lives. Now, this message is mainly to the believer to remind us, but it's also a message to those who have never put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ in regards to God's grace. But many in our world today who claim to be blood-bought by the precious blood of the Lamb have turned back to idolatry, have turned back to where they have put something before God. Let each of us examine ourselves this morning, and let us ask a question. What have we put before God? What have we put before God in our lives? What has become an idol in our lives? What has taken our time and consumed our lives and become that idol in our lives? And why is it going to take to get us to come back to that right relationship that God wants us to have? I trust and I pray that each of us have been preparing our hearts to hear what God has for us in this portion of Scripture. Because as we look at this, it is a picture of not just Jerusalem. It is a picture of your life and my life. And as we look at this picture, it ought to bring each of us to a place that we want to serve God and put God where He ought to be in our lives, because we truly understand the grace of God. Ezekiel chapter 16, starting in verse 1. Again, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, cause Jerusalem to know her abominations, and say, Thus saith the Lord God unto Jerusalem, Thy birth and thy nativity is of the land of Canaan. Thy father was an Amorite, and thy mother a Hittite. And as for thy nativity, In the day thou wast born, thy navel was not cut, neither was thou washed in water to supply thee. Thou wast not salted at all, nor swaddled at all. None eyes pitied thee to do any of these unto thee, to have compassion upon thee. But thou wast cast out in the open field, to the loathing of thy person in the day that thou wast born. And when I passed by thee, and saw thee polluted in thy own blood, I said unto thee, when thou wast in thy blood, live ye, yea. I said unto thee, when thou wast in thy blood, live. I have caused thee to multiply as the bud of the field, and thou hast increased and waxen great, and thou art come to excellent ornaments. Thy breasts are fashioned, and thy hair is grown, whereas thou wast naked and bare. Now when I passed by thee and looked upon thee, behold, thy time was a time of love, and I spread my skirt over thee and covered thy nakedness. Yea, I swear unto thee and enter into a covenant with thee, saith the Lord God, and thou becomest mine. Then washed I thee with water. Yea, I thoroughly washed away thy blood from thee and anointed thee with oil. I clothed thee also with broider work and showed thee with badger skin. And I girded thee about with fine linen and I covered thee with silk. I decked thee also with ointments and I put bracelets upon thy hands and a chain on thy neck. And I put a jewel on thy forehead and earrings in thy ears and beautiful crowns upon thy head. Thou wast decked with gold and silver, and thy raiment was of fine linen and silk and broidered work, and thou didst eat fine flour and honey and oil, and thou wast exceedingly beautiful, and thou didst prosper into a kingdom. And thou renown went forth among the heathen for thy beauty, for it was perfect through my comeliness, which I had put upon thee, saith the Lord God. Heavenly Father, we love you. And we thank you that we can take some time and look at your word. Lord, I pray as we look at this portion of scripture, you would illuminate it to us. You would help each of us to glean the truths you want us to glean this morning. We pray in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen. As we look at God's grace this morning, I first want us to see the terrible condition. The terrible condition. Now, as this description of this helpless infant, there is a perfect picture how every one of us was before we were saved. And this is a picture of what Jerusalem was and what they were before God delivered them and before God gave his grace to them. But it's also a picture before our salvation, what God has done. Let's look at this. I know there's some graphic there, but I think there's some great truths that we need to see this morning. Look at verse number 4, what took place. We read this again. As far as for thy nativity, in the day that thou wast born, thy navel was not cut, neither was thou washed in water to supply thee. Thou wast not salted at all, nor swaddled at all. As a lost sinner, we were unclean. The child had never been properly taken care of. The child was never properly dealt with once it was born and clean. Now, those that know in our day and age, those that have had a child or been around someone that's had a child, we know the procedures and we know what takes place. We know when the baby is born, we know the cord needs to be cut, we know that they do some cleaning, they do some things, they clear out the lungs, they do things to take care of that child so that child is able to breathe, that child is able to sustain life, and they clean that individual. Now, sometimes if a baby is born right away, they put it close to the mother for a few minutes, but usually as soon as they do that for a second, they take the baby and they clean the baby. We don't usually see the dirty baby. But this is the picture here of this baby, this individual, this child that was born unclean, was born in a way that was not washed. It wasn't taken care of. And as a lost sinner, we too were unclean. We were unclean. We were not washed. We were not washed by the blood of the Lamb. As a child, as we are born a sinner in need of a Savior. We are born unclean. Jerusalem had their issues, had their struggles. They were unclean. The picture was this. This is what you were, Jerusalem. You were an unclean individual. A lost sinner was also uncared for. And so was this baby. It was uncared for. It wasn't taken care of. It wasn't swaddled. Now, we understand swaddling today. A baby is born. Baby is clean. They take a baby and what do? They swaddle the baby. Now, sometimes we take a blanket and we swaddle a baby, right? Now, some of you, how many are good at swaddling babies? Some of you, you do it and it looks like you made a football. And then just slides right off the baby, right? And it's not there. But those that pay attention are able to swaddle nicely. And you want it just right so it's perfect. Now, I remember when we had Mackenzie, our first, 16 years ago. And I tell you, when you have your first child, how many remember your first child compared to your last child? How many were so different with their first child than they were with the last child? And I remember the swaddling. And I remember the nurse came in and showed us how to do it. I already studied it out myself because I want to make sure it was done right. And I tell you, she showed us. And I watched every move she made. And I tell you, when I swaddled, they told me it was the most perfect swaddled ever. I tell you, I had it down. It was wonderful. Now, time Ezra came around, it was a little different. Kind of tossed the blanket. Here you go. There's your swaddle, right? Yeah, well, you know what I'm saying. But the idea is this. This baby was swaddled. Now, we did swaddle him. All right? Just probably not as tight or as neat. I mean, Mackenzie's, I tell you, you could shake her. You wouldn't shake her because she's a baby, but you could shake her, and it would not come off. It was just that good. Ezra, as you pick him up, it would just fall off because it wasn't as tight. But it's finding and understanding that this baby was taken care of. This baby was unclean. This baby was uncared for. As we look at our lives and we look at before salvation, this world did not care for us. The devil does not care for you. Oh, some would say, well, of course he does. Oh, he wants, no, the devil doesn't want anything to do with you, except all he wants you is not to serve God and live for God and come to Jesus Christ. And the picture is this, this unclean, uncared for child. But look at verse number 5 as well. None I pity thee to do any of these unto thee, to have compassion upon thee, but thou wast cast out in the open field to the loathing of the person in the day that thou wast born. What do they do? Unclothed baby, naked baby. Now, how many of you had your baby and you decided you weren't going to buy any clothes for your baby? Now, some of you, again, we're going back to the first child, right? The first child had how many clothes? More clothes than they knew what to do with, right? How many you had a couple children? And by the time you got to your second, your third, your fourth, or your fifth child, that you weren't too concerned about clothing anymore. And you realize they didn't need 25 of the same outfits, okay? But this idea is this baby wasn't clothed, wasn't taken care of. And what does it say? They took the baby and they loathed it. They put it in the field. They threw it in the field. Left it there. You know what we were before salvation? We were left to our own devices. We were left to the sin, corrupt world. And we had no hope. Let me ask you, how much hope does this baby have? This picture, this illustration, this scripture of being lost in the fields, left there naked. How much hope does this baby have? Not much hope. How much hope is there given? There isn't. There's only one hope, and that hope is for someone to come by And this is the picture that someone came by and saw and had compassion. We're going to talk about this in a minute. And what hope did you and I have when we were saved? The only hope you and I had was that God loved us and God showed compassion to us and God saw us in our need and God saved our soul. It was a lost sinner. As a lost sinner, we were unclothed. We were unclaimed. As a lost sinner, we were uncontrollable. And we can spend a lot of time this morning looking at these verses and looking at that condition. But that is a condition every individual is in before salvation. Not only do I want us to see this terrible condition, I want us to see this awesome compassion. Awesome compassion. Look at verse 6 with me. Verse 6. And when I passed by thee and saw thee polluted in thy own blood, I said unto thee, when thou wast in thy blood, live ye. I said unto thee, when thou wast in thy blood, live. I have caused thee to multiply as the bud of the field, and thou hast increased and waxen great, and thou art come to an excellent ointment. Thy breasts are fashioned, thy hair is grown, whereas thou wast naked and bare. He came to us. He had compassion on us. I want us to think for a moment. As this illustration is given, there's this baby that's a picture of what we were, unloved, unclothed, unclean, uncontrollable, a lost sinner picture. But then we see this awesome compassion, and we see God came to Jerusalem, and God came to us. I want us to understand this something this morning. You did not seek God. God sought you. God found you. God saw you. God knew you. He knew you before you even born. And God knew your need of salvation. I'm so glad there was a day in my life that God came to me and opened my eyes so I saw my need of salvation. I'm so glad, even though I was lost, I was dead in the trespasses of my sin. I had no hope. God came. God saw, God found me. He saw a sheep with no shepherd, and he opened my eyes, and he said, you, come unto me. John tells us God has to draw us unto himself, and God came and drew me unto himself. I'm so glad that as we see this picture, even though this baby was in the field in this lost condition, there came this one who saw this individual in need and said, I'm here to help you. We see the compassion that was given. The Lord saw this little infant and loves it and knew instantly what he had to do to rescue it. God knew exactly what he had to do to rescue Jerusalem. He knew exactly what he had to do to get Jerusalem to come back. God knew exactly what he had to do in your life and my life. He knew he had to send his only begotten son to die upon the cross of Calvary, to shed his blood, to offer the only way of salvation. God knew what we needed to have hope. Before the foundations of the world, God put a plan into practice. He put a plan into play, and that plan was he's going to send his perfect Lamb of God without spot, without blemish, to come to the sin-cursed world, to live 33 years, to die on the tree of Calvary, to shed his blood, rise again the third day, ascend back into heaven, and offer the only way of salvation. He came to us. He had compassion. Aren't you glad God had compassion on you? If you're saved here this morning, aren't you glad God had compassion on you? I'm glad some of you aren't gods or God. You say, what do you mean? Because how often do we have compassion the way God has compassion? How much compassion do you have for your spouse? How much compassion, and we're preaching to the choir here, do we have for our kids sometimes? How many like to strangle your kids at times? All right. And how many of us need to learn to have more compassion with them just a little bit? Doesn't mean you get away with sin, Reagan. It means we have a little compassion, right? And a little more compassion. And God had compassion on us. And then God commanded them, the child, to what? It says, yea, live. Live. Child, you're going to live. When God came to us, what does God do for us? He gives us life. He gives us his eternal life. And then it says in verses 8 through verse 9, what does he do? He covers this child. He covers this child with his skirt, with his clothing. And what does God do when he shows compassion on us? He covers us with what? His blood. What gives us life is the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. What takes away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What makes me white as snow? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What gives me hope? What gives me salvation? What gives me my sins forgiven? It's the blood of Jesus Christ, which covers my sin and removes it as far as from the east is to the west. And when God the Father looks down, he doesn't see a baby lost, unclean. He looks down and sees a child covered by the blood of his son. And then we see he claimed us. We also see in verse 8, now when I passed by thee and looked upon thee, behold, thy time was a time of love. And I spread my skirt over thee and covered thy nakedness. Yea, I swear unto thee, and entered into a covenant with thee, saith the Lord God, and thou becamest mine. Now he made a covenant with us. He didn't make a contract with us. He didn't make a contract with Jerusalem. He made a covenant. What is the difference between a covenant and a contract? A contract can be broken. A covenant is not broken. That is the difference between a covenant and a contract. When you get married, you should be making a covenant with your spouse, not a contract with your spouse. It is a covenant that is something that should not be broken in regards to that. And when we got saved, God made a covenant with us, that he will never leave us nor forsake us, that he will forgive us of our sins, he will provide a home in heaven for us, and one day we'll be with him for all of eternity. That is the covenant that was made with us. And that also the covenant that was made with us, that we become his. Look at the verse 8. It says, and entered into a covenant with thee, saith the Lord God, and thou becamest mine. This child who was unclean, this child who had no hope, this child that was left in the field, someone found this child, gave compassion to this child. And the compassion that was given to this child brought this child to a place that this child saw, found out that it could be clothed, that it could be cared for, it could be cleansed, it could be taken care of. And what took place and what happened? This child became his. What about your life and my life? When we were unsaved, God woke you up. When you came to saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ and put your faith and trust in him, you became his. That's a truth we know. But I believe it's a truth we sometimes take for granted. I am his, and he is mine. I become his child. Some of you understand this. Some of you have been around, and some of you may have done this in regards to adoption. What takes place with adoption? For some reason, the child cannot go to the parents. It could be the parents don't want the child. It could be the parents can't take care of the child. There's a reason. There's an issue. There's something that happens that the child cannot stay with the parents. And some of you have been around long enough, you remember the old day orphanages. Some of you remember that kids would live there for a long time sometimes, and some of them had just the terrible lives. We don't have orphanages as much, but we have foster care system. And some of it's good, some of it's bad. And what takes place is sometimes kids have to go from home to home to home to home, be all pushed around. But what is the most exciting thing that takes place for a child that is in an orphanage setting or in a foster care setting? Is when there is one that saw the child, saw the need of the child, knew what the child needed, knew they were the one that could provide what the child needed. They knew how to take care of the child. They knew how to do what the child needed. And then they took the child and they made the child what? Theirs. And what happens when that child becomes theirs? It takes on the name of the one that claims it. It takes on the name of the one that it becomes. And now it's not just this child in the orphanage. It's this individual's child that took this child. And as that child becomes part of the family and takes on the family name, then that child is given all the rights and the benefits and all that is entailed to the name of that child. What took place when God saved you and saved me? He saw us. He saw our condition. He knew what he had to do. He saved us as we put our faith in him. And then he says, you are no longer the child of wrath and disobedience. You are now the child of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And as we become his child, we can cry out, Abba, Father. And as we are able to cry out, Abba, Father, we get all the benefits and all the privileges because we belong now to him. This is the picture that is being set for us here. Look a little further here. We see this condition that was given, this terrible condition. We see this awesome compassion. But I want us to also focus on verse 10 to verse 14 of this marvelous change. Of this marvelous change. I clothe thee also with broidered work, and shod thee with badger skin, and I girded thee about with fine linen, and I covered thee with silk. This verse tells us the Lord clothed his chosen one in the finest of the garments. What a picture. He who knew not even what clothing was, he clothed in the finest. As you read through this, as you see the picture of the change, then we read this already, what takes place? He puts bracelets. He puts earrings. He puts crowns. He puts all those things upon this child. This child, and this child becomes this queen, if you will, this individual. And all that is given to this individual, what a change that takes place. We were in a terrible condition. God gave compassion. But once we're saved, we become his, but we also become changed. Let's look at this for a moment. All my sin was what? As filthy rags. I was in rags. I was in sin. But God clothed me with his righteousness. And when God clothed me with his righteousness, I'm no longer in lint, rags. I'm in the finest linen available. That's the picture. I'm no longer in sin and no disobedience. I become a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. I become different. I'm not the same that I used to be. See, there was a change. She went from being a baby tossed in a field with nothing to being this individual that grew, and her hair grew, and all it grew, and she had the crowns, and she had the bracelets, and she had the earrings, she had the fine linen. She was different than what she was because of Jesus. And that's what happens in your life and my life. We become different because of what Jesus has done. It's not just salvation. Oh, I tell you, salvation's awesome. I'm glad I have a home in heaven. But as a child of His, I become different. I ought to live different. I ought to act different because I ought to show who I belong to in my life. And this is what happened with this individual. Look at verse 14. And thy renown went forth among the heathen for thy beauty, for it was perfect through my comeliness, which I put upon thee, said the Lord of God. He says, I put on you beauty. That's what he's saying. I put on you beauty. Now, please don't take this the wrong way. But one way you can look at it is this way. You were once ugly, now you're beautiful. You were once ugly, now you're beautiful. How many ever met an ugly baby before? Now, parents say there is no such thing. Babies are so beautiful. Honestly, how many of us seen ugly babies before? Okay? I saw some baby pictures of Steve, and they were pretty ugly. Some baby pictures aren't that. Brian, what are you laughing about? I bet yours weren't much better. And we see the baby pictures, and we always think they're cute, but some babies just aren't ugly looking, all right? Now, I was a cute baby, and I still am, but it doesn't matter. Not a baby, but cute, all right? Some of you are not coming along with me. I'm going to get upset in a minute. My feelings are getting hurt. Not really. But as a baby, even though sometimes they're not cute as a baby, what happens is they grow, and they're taken care of. And they're given all that they need. They become beautiful. Now, let me ask you what happens when a child is born, and in this case was thrown, and the child didn't come back to God, didn't have God's compassion, God's grace upon them. This child was thrown, left to their own. This baby that was ugly, what happens to that baby? It stays ugly. What do you mean? What if the baby's teeth were never taken care of? What happens? How many of you wish that your child's teeth did not act the way that they acted? Because you've had to get braces, you had to get teeth pulled, you've had to get other stuff done to your kid's teeth because you don't know what they do to them. They don't take care of them right. There's something, right? But you have to take care of the teeth. You have to take them in. What happens if you would never cut a baby's hair? Now, it is cute when a baby is small and up to even toddler age, their hair a little longer and it gives the curly cues and stuff. What happens if a guy or a lady 30 to 40 years old never washed their hair, cut their hair, combed their hair, or any of that? What would happen? Now, I'm talking about those that have hair, okay? You don't count. What would happen? What would happen? How many would like to be around that person? How many would think there would be a stench from the person's hair? You see the picture? We were ugly. We had the stench. And no, as we kept living our own way, we were still in our sin. But then God came. As Ephesians says, but God. But God showed his grace. And when God showed his grace, then it was changed. Let me ask you a question this morning. First, do you know the Lord Jesus Christ, Savior? Second, are you thankful for what he's done for you? Thirdly, how is it impacting the way we're living our lives? How is it impacting the way that we live our lives? Are we still putting things before God? Or because we focus on what God's done for us, has it woken us up to the place that we realize he has to come first in our lives? The whole picture that was given here was to wake Jerusalem up. And I believe this picture is given to us, given to believers in America today, to wake us up. Because we need to be woken and to be realized this morning, if you're saved, what God has truly done for you. I believe we take it for granted so often in our lives. But oh, let us be woken up. Let us stop having idolatry in our lives. Let us stop putting something before God and put God back where he ought to be. Let us come to him. Let us repent and turn back to him and give him the rightful place once again in our lives. And let us thank God that even though we were like this baby, he clothed us, he saved us, he changed us. Let us thank him for what he's done. Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you for your precious word. And Lord, even though there's so much more in this portion of scripture we could have looked at and other verses there, we see the idea that was given here. We see the truth that was given to us. And we do pray, if there's one here, one watching that does not know you as their Savior, that, Lord, today they would turn to you. Lord, we pray that each believer would be thankful and live in a life pleasing to you and get back to you because we realize all that you've done for us. We pray in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen. Heads bowed, eyes closed. As you stand, the piano is just going to play for a minute.